We are going to conclude talking about the Word of God. Wanted to take some time that we had together and felt like the Lord would be pleased with that, and to talk about His Word. And we're looking at 10 truths about the truth of the Word of God, and we'll wrap that up today. Our foundational scripture that we're looking at comes from Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, where Timothy, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, all scripture, that means this book from the beginning to end, all scripture is God, and then he links with that the word spirit, it's of the spirit. So it's God-spirited, and it's translated in different ways, but it's of God, and it comes to us by the Spirit. From beginning to end, no other book makes that claim or can legitimately make that claim. This book is unique. It is divinely inspired. It is a product of the Spirit working through human beings, but working through human beings and moving them along, inspiring them in a unique way without violating who they are. But yet, as humans cooperated with the Holy Spirit uniquely brought them along, and what they wrote down was assembled together into this book, the Word of God, the Bible. The Scriptures, which simply means writing. The writings, which together is the writing. So let's go over the 10, and then we'll go over the 3 that we have today. The first truth about the truth of this book is that it is a story, and we need to approach it as a story. God, he spirited this book, but what he spirited, he's telling us a story. He's telling us a story of how we came into being, what happened to us in our history, and at its core, what he has done for us out of his great love for us and the gift of his son, and his son laying down his life on the cross and then being raised from the dead, and how that we can apply and accept that grace by faith and enter into a relationship with him, and then to live in that relationship with him by continually living by faith. And if we do that, there can be some tough times. There are enemies to confront. There is the old creation, our own selves, to confront. But if we do that and remain faithful to him, at the end of the story, those who have belonged to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and are found faithful to him, they all, with the Lamb, they all what? Live happily ever after. That's the story of all stories. Second truth about the truth of the Word of God is that it's spirit. We must allow the Spirit to tell us the story. That is some of the reason why, you know, we've talked about, and don't want to get started there because I'm trying not to keep you too late as we come to the finish line together. Part of the reason why the Holy Spirit has not been too concerned about the assaults, although I think he has, is that all along, whether we mix up order of the books or we, whatever form we find the story in, which we've talked about has been corrupted by human efforts for a long time, till you cannot find, and if you do, please let me know, a complete telling of the story in story form. But the Holy Spirit always knew that we would have to rely upon him if we got the story at all. We'd have to allow him to tell the story. He's the author. What a wonderful storyteller he is. Oh, we read it like a story, we get caught up in it. All other stories are imitations and pale in comparison to the drama, the the depth, the love, the relationship, the intricacies of this story. But we must look to the Holy Spirit to tell us the story. If we look just to ourselves, we'll miss the main points of the story altogether. And in fact, we will corrupt it with our own misunderstanding of what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Third, it's all about a Savior, Jesus Christ. John talks about the Word. This is the written Word. Who's the living Word? Jesus Christ. In a real sense, in reality, the Word of God is not a book, it's a person. Even in talking about this book as truth, in a strict reality, there's one truth, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. I'm the truth. So what value this wonderful book that God has given to us, what value it has, is solely dependent upon whether we allow this book and what God tells us in this book to lead us to Christ, the Word, the truth, the life. If we miss truly knowing Christ, if we miss truly living in relationship with Him, if we miss that for which this book points and is given to us so we may know how to know Him and to live with Him all of our days till we go to be with Him. If we miss that reality, this book serves us no purpose. Because that's for what it was intended. The written Word was always intended by God to be a means to help us come to the Word of God. Always. Terrible numbers, so I get over five, I have to start taking my shoes off, and that won't be a good idea, but I don't think we're even close there. I think we're at number four. That this is the sword, but again, in case we miss it, the scriptures is the sword, but the sword of the what? Of the Spirit. It's got to be in His hand. But as we've looked to Him and He enlivens this book and reveals this book to us, then with His hand around the handle of the sword with us, then we can wield this, the truth in this book, against the enemy. May we be reminded, the principal enemy to our walk with Christ is our old creation. But then to realize there are spiritual forces as well as other human forces which seek to get to turn us away from our relationship with Christ, to try to get us to quit walking with Him. But no enemy to Christ or to our walk with Christ can get to us. But only through us as an old creation. So whatever the effort is to get us to turn back into ourselves, to depend upon ourselves, to feel sorry for ourselves, to live for ourselves, and then the enemy's got us, and we have in fact, in experience at least, joined forces with the enemy himself. What stands in contrast to that is this Word. I know that I am saved. I know I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that one day I will be with Him, and all the loved ones that have gone on before me who have faith in Him, I know that. Because God says that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. So I know it, and I will hold to that no matter what doubts or whatever might come my way, because God says it, and I will hold to His word. I don't do it like I should, but I know I can deny myself as an old creation, having been crucified with Christ. I know that it is before me that I can live every moment of my life in dependence upon Christ as a risen new creation with Christ. I know that if I will just want it enough to do it, I know it because God says that's what's happened. God says you have been crucified with Christ if you're a believer in Him as an old creation. You have been raised with Him as a new creation to walk in newness of life with Him. And it's just there, and any pull in our lives to slip back into the old creation is counteracted by the Word of God and say, no, I will not live like that of myself and for myself and the flesh. I will not live that way because God says I'm dead as that person. And now I'm alive, joined to Jesus Christ, to live by Him. And I hold to God's word so I can know the reality of Christ. This book is shadow. Shadow. The great reality is God and His realm. This just lets us know something about that. God transcends this book. God condescends to talk to us and tell us a story in language that we can understand. Beautiful song sung by the leading us in song by the praise team. When we step through what we've been talking about as gate 3 into the presence of God, yes, this book was telling us about it. But when we step into the reality of living in the presence of God in His home, we can only imagine. And even then, and this is one of the principal messages all through the story about that, and that is God says, imagine the best picture of what it could be. And it's infinitely greater than that. But this is a shadow. We can know something of what it's like to be with God and to be in His presence forever. Because here's a shadow. I like this one. You notice we've talked about, we've labeled these 10 characteristics of truth about the truth with the letter S to help me remember them. But I like this one. Steak. I like steak. I fully intended to have a steak last week. Did not happen. Maybe this week. There's always hope. Steak. This is food, spiritual food. Scripture says, if you've been knowing the Lord very long, and you need to, well, you always need to eat of this book in order to be strong spiritually, because this book constantly is telling us and pointing us to who? Christ. If we slip and go our own way, we're not interested in this book, because this book's not about how we live our life for our own selves. It's how to live life in relationship with Him, which is true life and abundant life, but we settle for so much less. And so we don't want to know about this story. We're too busy making up our own story. But if we want to be spiritually strong, this book helps us. This is food, and we eat of it. And then in one place in the story, we can fall into this category of being admonished, in that it says, you've been at this for too long and you're still drinking the milk of the Word. And it says, milk is for who? Well, it can be for adults too, but the idea is milk is for babies. But we should mature, become more complete in Christ, so that we can begin to eat the solid food of this book. We'll jump right, just to touch on it, because the last point we're going to make is spoil. If Thank the Lord for Alan to touch on that with the youth. And we're going to wrap it up with that very point. So thank you for helping with that, brother. There's so much good stuff in here, isn't there? And the Lord, I think, would say, I've told you something about my journey with this book, and I know the Lord would say to me, you know what? You're still just drinking the milk. You haven't even got to the solid food yet. The really good stuff that I've got here for you. You're still drinking milk. And at best, maybe I'm still on the blooming onion. Or that little salad with the little tomatoes. But all, for me, I'm still waiting, trying to save room at Outback for when they bring out the steak. If we want to be strong spiritually, we have to eat of this word. And then when we're strong spiritually, see the progression. Of course, it all depends upon Christ, but then eat of this word to get our strength in Christ spiritually. And then when we're strong spiritually, we can begin to move away from the milk and start eating on the solid food of this word. It's soap. Help us to make us clean. What does that mean? It helps us to point out, just all of these intermingle. Helps us to realize where we've slipped into the dirt of our old creation and sin, and where we've become entangled in the filthiness of this world, which is an opposite of Christ. And this book helps us to understand, oh, okay, I didn't know that was old creation. Oh, okay, I didn't know I had bought into the world's idea of something. Oh, okay, I see that I need to wash off some things here. So then, and this is a message of the story, the only way we have cleanliness to be clean is through Christ. That was what Jesus was telling his disciples before and during the Passover, which has become our communion, when he washed their feet. To become clean, this book helps us to do that. How many have had the experience as you've depended upon the Lord? You know, just even if you're faithful to Christ in your walk with him, just walking through this world, you get dusty. I mean, it just didn't get in you. Keep your mouth shut. Didn't get in you, but just you. But how many have had the experience? You depend upon the Lord, and you spend some time in this word, and when you get done, you feel clean. You feel cleaner. You've washed in the word, which truly leads us to wash in the blood of Christ. It feels cleaner. And the story tells us the reason why God wants us to be clean is our relationship with him. And so that then we can be part of his people. And then that we can be found acceptable to come into a place of worship and to worship him. Just part of a warning there for us. And the king has departed, leaving his spirit here with us. But the king, invisible presence, is not with us. And so we can do some things, and we're getting away from that. Oh, that's no big deal. But when the king comes, read the parable of the rich person who had a marriage feast for the son. People come in there that were not clothed properly, not cleaned up properly. When the king comes, no one better try to come into his presence unclean, or it'll be a bad day. And so this book helps us to be clean in Christ. And very quickly, the last three. For